I used to drive all over town for low prices, but now I let Walmart's incredible new Savings Catcher do the work for me. I just enter my Walmart receipt online and Savings Catcher does the rest. It compares the prices I paid for items at Walmart with advertised prices from other top stores in my area. And if Savings Catcher finds a lower advertised price, Walmart gives me the difference on an e-gift card. Now that's my kind of work.
Introducing Savings Catcher from Walmart. Go to walmart.com/savingscatcher for details. Eligible items only. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. We're here during another AfterBuzz TV After Show for MTV's Teen Wolf, Season 4, Episode 7, Weaponized. I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, and joining me, AfterBuzz TV host, June Lee.
Hey, everyone.
We have all the assistant editors in studio with us today, one arriving in a moment. We have Corey Trench on the couch.
Good to be here.
Betsy Thompson next to me. Woo! And Amber Banzak across the way.
Newcomer.
And Greg Cusumano will be joining us in just a few moments. Mm-hmm. Now, we here love the family dynamic between the crew that works on Teen Wolf. Can you guys talk about the assistant editor's pack and how together you guys fight off villainous deadlines? And feel free to cross-reference Scott and his pack.
Well, it's fair to say that I am the alpha of the pack. And that everyone else just follows me.
Is that true, ladies?
I don't know. I think Corey's like the Peter. He's always up to something.
He is.
I do wear V-necks from time to time.
The deep V.
The deep V.
They talked about the deep V at Comic-Con. One of the fans actually asked when he was going to stop wearing V-necks.
Oh, now that he's a father?
I guess. That would make sense.
It's time to cover up.
Tone it down.
Father for a little while.
I guess it's time to... So can you guys seriously, though, walk us through a little bit on, you know, the assistant editor's pack and how you guys do work as a team and what it is you do? I know, Amber, this was your episode, so maybe you can start us off.
I mean, I think basically... We kind of, we sort of orbit around our own episodes and our own editor. And so it's a little bit, as far as how we come together, I think it's more like, you know, when we're working on Nexons and Prevons and sort of like getting notes from each other or collaborating on how stuff should play out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's sort of a like, it's almost more like creative feedback. But otherwise, it's really just... It's more like a relay race or something where we're sort of passing the baton from, like, locking one episode, and then, you know, once I'm locking, then, you know, Betsy's up next, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm. There's also a continuity that we have to keep, you know? So, like, if I have something particular in my episode that I know Amber had in her episode two episodes ago, you know, then I go and talk to Amber, and I'm like, hey, like, what sound did you guys use for this? You know, what sort of things did you do that... we should also do in our episode to keep that continuity kind of going throughout.
Yes.
I know you do some of the sound effects we were talking about. Betsy, can you talk a little bit about that and how you guys do sync up those sound effects and as assistant editors, how you're responsible for putting those sounds in?
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of pretty much all. I mean, each editor and assistant work differently. I know for Gabe and I do a lot of the sound effects. And it's so much fun, though, because you really have to create a whole environment, you know, and fights are pretty crazy and challenging.
So do you get to pick those out from, like, a Teen Wolf library?
Oh, yeah. We have a vast library of sounds, which hasn't been organized yet. But
one season.
Greg, once it is.
Greg has a template that I use sometimes. That he has, like, different things that are all set out and... it's pretty fun.
But yes, there's a lot of work that goes into the sound design. We create the atmosphere in the world, as Betsy talked about. And yes, there has to be that continuity. Like sometimes there'll be a computer sound that Lydia's computer makes when we're breaking the code. Mm-hmm. I'll have to ask, like, okay, what is that? What does that sound like? And then, you know, Gabe had something that mm-hmm. he worked on, and then we just kind of brought that over. And then Levels, our sound people, made it their own too.
Yeah. I know you guys also got to co-edit a few episodes. Corey, can you talk about that?
Yeah, so it's funny how, like, when you've worked on a show for a long time, you get an opportunity to, like, okay, now here's your chance to cut if you want to. And the editors, I think they're all ready and willing to give us that opportunity. It's such a privilege and an honor to do that. And we get to, like, learn under them, like, know their style. So when it comes to actually editing, like, we'll cut some stuff and then we'll get notes from them and then kind of take the process all the way through directors and producers. And in some rare cases, we often get on-screen credit for that.
Wow.
And, yeah, a couple of us.
Yeah, I noticed they had credits this episode. Why was that different? Can you guys talk about that at all?
Credits for what?
Because I was watching online. I know mm-hmm. you do too, June. Did you mm-hmm. notice that at the end it really listed, like, all the credits out to you guys and everybody who isn't just on the main?
I think that's
opening.
Always been there, but mm-hmm. I don't – there's, like, two different types of credit beds. This is getting really technical and nerdy, but, like, there's a 52 squeeze credit that it's, like, literally, like
– 46.
46?
Or 36.
36? Oh, 36.
That is, like, a flash of all your names.
But, yeah, it's always there, but sometimes they don't play it depending upon
it. Well, this time it looked really nice, too. It had, like, the imagery and everything.
Yeah.
It really stuck out. So you guys got pronounced credit this episode.
That's right.
Congratulations, Amber.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead and talk about the episode a little bit. We begin with, you know, that mixtape that mm-hmm. we got the week before, mm-hmm. and we get to actually listen that this is instructions for how you would receive payment, and it mm-hmm. is vital that you send a picture as confirmation, visual confirmation. Mm-hmm. And Styles and Scott are sort of having this debate about what to do with this $500,000 mm-hmm. in this bag, and it seems like Styles is, like, reasoning against giving it back to the Hales because, you know what, Peter is such a bad guy. He doesn't deserve this money. And you know what, I really need, my dad needs help with the Eichen House bills, the MRIs.
He's kind of like, dude, I wouldn't have had all of these bills if I wasn't friends with a werewolf and getting, you know.
I mean, they should offer to pay for it, right?
Know, because, like,
pain and suffering.
Really, it's not his fault the boy chose him.
Right?
You know?
These are just write-offs in my mind.
Yeah,
he writes off all those deep Vs that he buys.
Peter writes off all his deep Vs. That's amazing. I bet he does. Those are very necessary for work. And so then we also find out that, you know, Scott's mom is mm-hmm. going to be losing her house if he doesn't also get this money. So, and Malia Sora asks at one mm-hmm. point in the episode to Kira, do you know what's in that bag mm-hmm. under, you know, Scott's bed?
Yeah.
So they're keeping it a secret between them. Mm-hmm. They're not saying what they're going to do with it. They're not telling anyone about it. I think at this point, you know, Scott, he always does what's right, but he's, like you said last week, June, you know, he's got other people to worry about. He's got his family and everyone.
But you were right. I mean, like, Scott wanted to, like, he was like, oh, we got to turn it in. Like, yeah, we have to turn it in. So you were right. I thought he was going to struggle more. You know, of course, Styles is the one that did that, so.
Right. Well, the money is still under the bed, mm-hmm. so we don't know which way it's going at this point, if they're going to use it for their families mm-hmm. or if giving it back to Peter is what they'll do. It seems like the benefactor will probably come for it eventually.
Yeah.
So then we get to look at Satomi and her pack being dead mm-hmm. and Derek's bringing Brayden into the hospital, and she's shot, and he's sort of staying with her and watching over her this entire episode.
So,
what do you feel about that relationship?
Oh my gosh, I think it's so cute. I think one of our viewers had commented on, like, you know, how before, like, a couple of episodes before, when, like, she was wearing the hot leather pants, I think mm-hmm. Alyssa was on, and they were saying, like, oh my gosh, they should definitely get together because they're very similar, you know, they're both kind of, like, wounded but tough. And I agree. I think they're very similar in that regard.
It seems like Derek's always picking, like, the bad girl, though, to go after. I think he's got a little bit of a fetish. As the assistant editors, do you guys ship anyone?
I just realized their couple name would be Braddock. Drayden. That's cool.
Sounds like that game with the little...
People I would ship. Gerard and Liam. I would ship those two.
All right. Betsy, do you have a ship that you favor?
Is that me?
I don't think so. I have to get that image out of my mind.
That's why I immediately turned to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, as I said last time, Stilinski and Melissa.
Yeah.
I really like those two.
I think that's where the fandom is concerned. What about you, Amber? Do you have a favorite ship out there in the seas?
I mean, I'm really enjoying... I mean, I like to call them Malials, but other people are saying Stalia, I guess. But I really like that relationship. Mm-hmm. So I love Malia's character.
I do.
She's great. Yeah.
I love how she has this aggressive, unique love that you don't really get anymore in general public because, you know, certain social aspects have scared us into not acting on our animalistic desires. And I like that she just pounces on Styles and she has this love that she just declares for him and she's not scared of it. And I feel like today so many of us are kind of scared of those feelings that we never act on them and thus for no one's getting married anymore.
But no one's getting married. Yeah, I know. They have a very romantic relationship. It's like even when she was mad at the end, you know, she was like, I feel like nowadays it's kind of like we try to be evolved people or enlightened people and like try not to get upset. But she was like, she was upset, so she walked out, you know what I mean? So when she's feeling good, she's feeling really good. When she's feeling bad, she's feeling really bad, which I thought was so awesome.
Yeah, I love that she doesn't try to like hide anything that she's feeling. I love that we get these sort of natural animal instincts that aren't wrong. You know, they're not wrong. As a society, we've sort of been like tainted to maybe hide those or like you said, look at things in a more intelligent way because we're an evolved person and those things don't affect us. But that's bull crap.
I know.
And I'm so glad that we're getting that.
And you know what's interesting about her character? The passion runs high and also the loyalty runs very high. Mm-hmm. And especially when we come to the end of the episode, you really see how hurt she is.
Yeah. And we can talk about that. Throughout the whole episode, you know, she was saying to Styles, like, you're going to come back, right? After they were all quarantined and sort of fighting for their lives, really, in this episode. All of them were. Death was at the doorstep for a lot of the characters. Mm-hmm. And we sort of got that passion. Like, you were talking about Corey between Malia and the loyalty with Styles, and even he was like, I'm not going to leave you, I'm going to come back. Mm-hmm. And then, let's just go ahead and talk about it. At the end, when she does get her vision back, she sees the third half of the list, sees her name on it, and her last name is Hale.
Yeah.
Now, not only did Styles not tell her about her being on the third half of the list, but she also did not know her last name was Hale. Can she pinpoint at this point that Peter is her father? I mean, she knows Derek, too. Not that he would be her father. But how can she just automatically assume that it's Peter?
I got that, too. I had the same exact question. I think for her, it was just a combination of, like, confusion. And, like, she knew. She had a lot of questions. And I'm sure she felt, like, Scott and Styles would think about also and probably would most likely have the answers to, but still chose to keep away from her. And I think that's what really got her upset is like, and she felt it. Like, she was like, okay, something's wrong. Something is off. I feel like they're keeping a secret. And like, she's just mad. You know, when you like find out like something that you just had a hunch about, it still makes you mad.
And it's someone who she wouldn't think would be lying to her. I feel like this was a big season reveal for one of our characters. We as an audience knew, but she didn't know. The character didn't know. And we're always waiting in suspense for the character to find out something that the audience already knows. And so that was huge, and she sort of ran off, and I'm hoping next week we sort of get the conclusion of, obviously, like we said, she's loyal, she's going to come back and sort of have those discussions with Styles about keeping things from her, but also the fact of, I think he's scared. He was almost protecting her from Peter, you know, and he also doesn't want to lose her. So she goes off and has this other, you know, relationship with another man. I think that's also part of it.
Totally.
So we have the other assistant editor, Greg Cusimano, joining us.
Everybody.
We were so excited for you to get here.
Yes.
We were just talking about people we ship, and we were on the Styles and Malia. Is there a certain relationship that you ship on Teen Wolf?
I ship on Teen Wolf. I'm almost 40, so what does ship mean again?
It's like the relationships that you're rooting for. Corey, for some reason, thought Gerard and Liam was a good match.
Yeah.
Betsy and I love Melissa and Stalinsky, and Amber was just talking about Stalia, Styles, and Malia, the relationship.
Probably, I'm still going for Derek.
And Brayden?
Not Brayden, the teacher, was from season 3.
Oh, the Duroc, Jennifer Blake?
Yes, I want her to come back.
Yeah.
In the worst way. She was my favorite.
Yeah.
She's great.
We want her to come back, too. I mean, she could. We didn't necessarily see her death. I mean, she was crawling towards the end of her days, but it's a possibility, right? I would like that.
Definitely. And she was scratched, so you never know with scratches, things happen.
There you go.
Stranger things have happened on Teen Wolf.
I know she wants to come back.
Yes.
Yes, Haley Webb, is it?
Haley Webb, yes.
We love Haley, so hopefully she will come back. Hopefully that happens. So let's talk about the PSATs and sort of this Simon character who's bringing the test to the school. He decides to infect everyone with the ink that they have to use for their thumbprint. Now, I guess this is this canine distemper disease goes through your skin. I guess it is. And we hear him playing the mixtape in the beginning, so we know that he's doing this for money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we already knew that he was the bad guy in this episode. And so everyone gets infected, gets sick, and they end up finding that the hail, they can get into the hail vault and sort of get out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And Satomi ends up telling Derek, you know, about the reishi mushrooms. The tea is what kept her from getting infected when the rest of her pack sort of died because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up getting that message back so Scott can get the reishi mushrooms to everyone and they're safe. But I just loved that we were in the high school and
PSATs.
It was
PSATs. I remember those.
I hated those.
Yeah.
But the one girl was like, I need to take these so I can get
high
a scholarship.
Stakes. No, it's true. Yeah. Like, when you're in high school, you think, like, okay, SATs, PSATs, well, okay, gotta go to a good school. Like, this is the most important thing in your life. High stakes. It's also good to show, like, in their everyday lives, not just the supernatural world, but their everyday lives, there are high stakes. And that teenagers can relate to that. Of course, we could all relate to that.
Yeah. And I love it when Scott's like, you know, like, yeah, I mean, if we don't die, I would like to go to a good a college.
That's funny. I like that.
Yeah, I love that.
I also want to talk about Lydia and her going back to the lake house, because we had Rusty on last week, and he was sort of talking about that white room that we love. And we still don't know exactly why it was soundproofed and what happened in that lake house. But we do see that Lydia is sort of asking Meredith for help. She apologizes that she couldn't help her, and then she finds this picture of Meredith being in that room from, it seems like, a long time ago, considering the picture's black and white. Can you guys talk to us at all about either that scene or that white room and what that's like? Did you guys get to visit the set when they built that?
Yeah, or, like, why Meredith was in there.
You don't have to give us any spoilers.
Yeah.
It's all a mystery. Yeah. Just keep watching.
My
tuned.
Last week is this week, so no. My best name.
I did actually visit the set yesterday. Because I was on set, and it's funny because, you know, we have so many 10 sets, like, lots of tent sets. That is
amazing. And what does that mean?
Tent sets?
No, I'm sorry. We just have a lot of sets.
Okay.
And there's a big sign on the door that says, wipe your feet before you enter. You know, and that will not be in any other.
Because it's the white room.
Yeah, it's just the white room, and it's the nice carpet and everything.
Pristine.
And, yeah.
The Stanley Kubrick room, as it's called.
Yes.
By the crew.
So, is this like a four-room wall? Because I know they need to shoot. So, is there one wall that's missing? How does it look? Because I feel like we've seen all the walls in this room, but I know to shoot, you guys need to probably take down one of the walls. Does that work?
I believe they do remove the walls. Am I right on? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, it has four walls right now. So
yeah, but they customize all these sets so they can do whatever they need to do. Like, yeah, remove a wall, shoot there, and then
maybe they go through the ceiling, like go through the top.
Yeah,
just drop a camera.
Drop a camera down. No one else is there. Just dropping a camera.
Throw a GoPro down there.
Throw a GoPro.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about. So Selinsky says, you know, I think there's more killers than the orphans in town. So he kind of knew that this Simon guy was also contracted from the benefactor. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to see even more people from the town being, you know, persuaded by this money? Because it seems like everyone's having money problems at this point.
Right. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
And that and the one that was attacking Satomi and Derek.
The blonde in the hospital?
Is she another orphan?
I don't think she's an orphan. I think she's somebody else that we don't know who's obviously like, on the wrong side, possibly doing this for money. But she, it seems like Satomi killed her.
Satomi did kill her. But I was just wondering, because like, she kind of looked like around the same age as Garrett and Violet, you know?
Right, so she could be another lingering orphan that we never met with no family. I don't know. I remember seeing there's like some scary movie about like orphans. And so I really liked that we've got this human quality in the villain this season in Teen Wolf, because it reminded me of this like very, it might have been called The Orphan or something, this or The Orphanage, I think is what it's called, this film. And it's really scary. And this, the fact that we have orphans as villains this season, like reminded me of that. And it is very scary. Someone who grew up sort of without guidance, you know, without that right and wrong, and perhaps was guided down a darker path. That's something that's very scary, because when you come out and nurture, it's really like what you're told is how the world works. That's what you have to believe, because you're coming out here with like no belief system.
Right.
So if you don't have that parental guidance and you're guided down like a darker path, I definitely feel like you're capable of doing, you know, the acts that we saw these orphans do with sort of no remorse and no feelings towards it.
Yeah.
So I like that we have these sort of human villains this season in Teen Wolf.
I really enjoyed Simon also this past episode. Like, James Urbaniak did such a great job. I was really sad to see him die at the end. I was like, no, can't we just keep him around for a few more episodes?
It seems like the villains are so, like, episodic this season. I feel like each episode, and I like that, we sort of get, like, a monster of the week this season. And so it's different because we have no idea who the benefactor is.
Well, you know, that's not true. We actually do know who the benefactor is.
You guys do.
Yeah, we do.
And I heard earlier we were talking about how it might be a certain Will Wallace, the Willifactor.
Yes, he's the writer's assistant on Teen Wolf, and we call him the Willifactor. He's the least likely
to be the benefactor.
But he knows everything.
So it could be him.
It could be him.
We have a lot of guesses. I mean, we were trying to decide if it was someone we knew, like Chris Argent, who clearly has reason to want this money, want all the supernatural creatures dead, because he's sort of lost everything. And when you lose everything, that means, you know, people mean everything to you. If you lose everyone around you, what left do you have? Who are you going to share your life with? What does anything mean if it's just you? So we said that it makes sense that it could be Chris, but it seems like in the previews that we got from next week, he's sort of hunting down the benefactor himself. So maybe it's not Chris.
Yeah.
And we're not sure if it's going to be one of these new characters, one of these new monsters of the week, or if it is someone that we've already been introduced to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I love all of the comments and, you know, the dialogue that goes on online. And they were like, okay, well, you know, the benefactor had really big feet, so it has to be somebody who's really tall. So it has to be either
Shaquille O'Neal is the benefactor.
The interweb solving Teen Wolf mystery by shoe size.
He's an actor.
But you know what? That's not a bad way to do it, because I know that's how, like,
Kazam
investigators
is the benefactor.
Who?
Kazam.
what was that Space Jam movie?
I love that movie.
That was Michael Jordan.
That was Michael Jordan.
Okay, I think it's just because they said, like, Kazam, Shazam, I don't know. But getting back to Teen Wolf, seriously, they do go in and measure footprints and look at shoe prints whenever they're trying to figure out who the murder mystery is. So that's not bad, looking at the fact that this creature has big feet.
Yeah.
But they could just, like Alyssa said, that they may only have one shoe in right. Beacon Hills, and it's only one size, so it could maybe be anybody's.
Right. But then, like, I mean,
that was Alyssa's.
There's one shoe in the entire town?
That's what she said. They only saw one shoe, so it could really be anybody.
That's awesome. I kind of like okay. that.
I know. And we
Greg,
just,
what do you think about that?
Sure. What size shoe is it? What brand of shoe
That's
is
what
it?
We're asking you guys. Tell
it's knows. Definitely Nike. It's definitely Nike.
What are the clues for chance. This season?
It's black. Well, I don't know.
It's like this black boot.
They were saying that, you know, Papa McCall is obviously very tall. Mm-hmm.
And he's not been around very much.
Yeah.
And we heard that maybe due to him being on another show. Or it could be that we're just getting him in glimpses so that he doesn't right. seem like mm-hmm. he could be the benefactor. But we really don't know what his motive would be.
But the thing is, it's like when he... Okay, there's a couple of, you know, things. Like, when he goes to Styles and is like, hey, mm-hmm. you have to go tell Scott, like, something about the vault and the reishi mushrooms. And he was just like, okay, go. Like, he wasn't even like, I'm going to come with you. Like, he right. literally just shot this guy in the head. You know what I mean? Stars his blood all over his face. And, like, oh, he was man. Just kind of like, just go. Like, go. And it's just like, wait, does he know that Scott's supernatural? I don't know. That was just so weird to me.
Yeah.
Very weird to me how he was just kind of like, I was expecting him to go with him. Like, you know, try to find Scott and everybody together.
He did his task. I guess his job was over. I don't know. I mean, can you guys remind us, does his father know at this point that he is supernatural? Because we really haven't had a sit down between the two of them. I think mm-hmm. he does know about some of the supernatural in the town, but I'm not sure how much Papa McCall knows at this point because we don't see him. Are you guys allowed to comment on his knowledge of the town at all?
I don't think it's pretty unclear anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really unclear at this point, but I feel like he has talked with Stilinski about it because when he was coming to replace Stilinski, mm-hmm. they sort of figured out that last mm-hmm. season together, and they did reveal some to him. But, you know, he was supposed to be there for Scott this season and really fix that father-son relationship. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen him do that. So mm-hmm. it's not clear why he's really back in town or how much he knows about anything. So hopefully we'll get some clarification moving forward so we can eliminate him from our pool of who we think the benefactor is.
Yeah, I don't think he's a benefactor.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Especially because there were other, you know, conspiracy theories saying that he's going to find out that Scott's a werewolf and he's going to be like, okay, like, who bit you, son? And he's going to be like, oh, this guy named Peter. And he's going to go to Peter and, like, be like, you turn my son into a werewolf and try to, like, kill
And there'll be,
Peter.
Like, this Western standoff in the middle of the desert yes, with Papa McCall and Peter.
Peter is going... but Peter is going to wind up killing Papa McCall, and because of that, they think that Scott's going to just go crazy on Peter.
I would actually really like that if that happens.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that theory of Scott having another reason to kind of go against
Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Peter's sort of in the story. He's not in the story. He's got these power mm-hmm. motives. He's not there, but mm-hmm. he always is, like, doing something. He's got an agenda that we're not clear about until really, like, the end of the season.
Well, going back to Scott's dad shooting the chemist, how interesting is it that Scott's whole thing is no killing, mm-hmm. cannot kill, and yet his father had to take the shot because Styles is going to die.
Like, right, but did he have to kill him? He could have shot him in the leg or something. That's always what I thought. I've always thought in my head.
An interesting question.
I have those hero moments in my head where I'm like, if something happens and I have a gun and I have to shoot someone, I'll just shoot him in the leg, right? Or I'll shoot him in the hands or all their legs and hands.
All right, remind me to not have a gun near you.
But because I don't want to kill them is my thought. Because we always see on TV and we see in the news that, you know, when someone attacking the villain of the crime story, or, you know, they normally take a shot at them that kills them. So I'm like, all right, that gets us nowhere. So if I was ever in that situation, I'm always thinking in my head, you know, not a fatal wound. So, but clearly that's not Scott's dad's process.
It's such a close range, too. Yeah. I mean, could you really have, you know, just taken him out with a knee shot? He's still so close to Styles if
True.
He wanted to.
I think he wanted to be sure. I think you're right with that, Amber, is that he wanted to be sure. But, yeah, what would Scott do in that situation? I don't know.
Well, I think he, because you could kind of see the trigger starting to be pulled. I think it was just sort of like a, he knew he had to eliminate it right away.
Yeah.
And not just injure
him. No hesitation.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Although, I hear that shots to the leg are actually more fatal than shots
to the chest.
Interesting. Because all the, you have a lot of
veins,
arteries.
Oh, because then you would bleed. Death.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But he shot him in the head, right?
Well, yeah, that is more fatal.
But she's saying the leg shot is more fatal than the chest shot.
You gotta rate that as a pretty bad wound.
So I want to talk about, before we get into interview questions with you guys, I want to roll into predictions first, so we can sort of get the show predictions out of the way and then talk to you guys about, you know, what brought you to this wonderful town of Beacon Hills and Los Angeles.
Yes.
Well, I just want to give credit to Jackie Campbell on YouTube, which was the one that predicted that Scott's dad is going to be killed by Peter.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's important.
And I think she also said that because after there's like some, you know, mourning that, you know, Stilinski's going to kind of come in and, like, you know, take care of Melissa and Scott.
Ooh,
and
I would like that.
See that in season five.
I agree with that, because Papa McCall has got to be out of the picture in order for Melissa and Stilinski to get together. Mm-hmm. And Stilinski's got to take that ring off.
Yeah, she
put it on somebody else's finger. Well, okay, so we clearly see that Derek and Brayden, it looks like they kiss next episode. So I'm excited for that, because I believe Megan Tandy, is actually joining us next week, I think so.
Oh my gosh, how exciting.
So we'll be able to talk to her about what that's like, those kisses. And it looks like Scott's dying on a hospital table next episode.
Hmm.
So, and I see Mama McCall, like, crying and upset, of course. But, I mean, to our knowledge, that's not possible because he normally heals. So I don't know what's going on there. If, you know, another monster of the week has gotten to him, why he lost his power, or if this is just a dream sequence.
Oh, my gosh. What if Scott is on the table because he's hurt? But who's actually dead is Papa McCall. And the reason why Scott's hurt is because he got into a fight with Peter.
It could be, but I heard, like, you know that sound whenever the heart stops beating, the we kind of got a little bit of that next week in the episode. I heard it. So I'm not sure. Hopefully that's just a bad, hopefully that's a bad dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to see the mute next week, which I thought was dead, but apparently Peter's really bad at killing people. Because it seems like he's back, which I loved
that's
the
so
mute.
Funny.
So if the mute's back, awesome. I am up for that. So let's go ahead and get into a few questions for you guys, because we're so excited that you were able to join us.
I know.
And we're always sort of interested in what aspects from your childhood sort of brought you to the industry, and then also how you got on Teen Wolf. I know we talked to Corey about this before, and I just love his story, because he used to actually sell comic books to his parents.
That's right.
And when he was younger.
Yes, for a dollar.
For a dollar. And so he sort of knew, you know, that his destiny was in California, editing and working in the industry.
And telling stories. But just how I got on Teen Wolf as a new story. Basically what happened was I worked on Punk'd, MTV's Punk'd, when they brought it back with Justin Bieber and all that. So they brought it back for season 9. And the post-supervisor of that show, Tara Abrams, who is the wife of my editor, Ed Abrams, had recommended me to come in for an interview because they needed a new assistant on season 2 of Teen Wolf. And I interviewed with Ed, and then here I am.
That's
ever
awesome.
Since. Yeah, it was really cool. Really, really awesome.
So she must have saw your work ethic, and in her mind, she thought you could definitely handle the job and wanted, you know, to lend a hand to someone she saw was very talented.
Super grateful.
That's
for the opportunity, yeah.
And what about you, Greg? Like, what got you into the industry? Maybe something as a child? Were you selling comics to your family members as well? Or?
I was not. I was one of those kids that watched movies over and over and over and over and over again.
What was your favorite movie that you were watching over and over?
Well, I had phases.
oh my God, that's totally me.
Is it you?
Yeah.
I started off with Neverending Story, which I watched until my tape was destroyed. And then I actually recorded Empire Strikes Back off on a VCR.
Nice.
And I watched that until it was destroyed. And then that was all through my adolescence. And then high school, I got into Highlander was one of my favorite movies.
This show. There was a show, too. Do you remember the show?
I'm a fan of the show. But Russell Mulcahy directed Highlander. And it was a great privilege to work with Russell Mulcahy, because it's like, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Aww. Definitely. And did you tell him about this, that you used to watch it when you were younger?
I did. I don't think he noticed. But,
we'll bring it to his attention.
On the last season of Teen Wolf, I will go to him with a poster from Highlander, ask him to sign it. Because right now I'm too embarrassed to, but my very last day of Teen Wolf ever, I will ask him to sign a poster.
That's awesome. Aww. I'm sure he will. And then, so what sort of brought you to Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf was through Alyssa Clark. I knew her personally, and then actually owe my entire career to Alyssa.
Wow. Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I was struggling. I've been in L.A. for 10 years. I was struggling. I couldn't find a job, and then I was about to go back to New York. She said, no, give me 1 month. I'll find you a job. And she got me on Top Chef.
That's awesome.
I was at Magical Elves and Top Chef for about 2 years, and then she got me on season 2 of Teen Wolf as a 6-week fill-in, and I've been there ever since.
That's great. Wow. So obviously, again, they noticed your work ethic and wanted you to stick around.
Yeah.
That's great. So you're part of Alyssa's pack?
I'm part of a pack.
That's awesome.
I guess she's the alpha.
Alyssa strikes me as an alpha.
She definitely does. Yeah. So. I think Alyssa's coming back with us next week, too. We love Alyssa. And so what about you, Amber? What were you doing maybe as a child that sort of led you to this industry?
My dad teaches cinema. I was definitely, raised... you know, watching a lot of movies and you know, talking
so
a lot
cool.
about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and I've always had kind of a werewolf obsession. so, The Wolfman was one of my favorite movies
That's
when
awesome.
I was a kid. And I grew up watching a lot of, old movies. I think that made it easier for me to, you know, decide that I wanted to edit and work in this industry, kind of feeling like I had my dad's support.
Did your dad support it? Because
Absolutely,
so many parents out there, they tell their kids, you know, get a business degree. Do something that you're going to get
a business degree.
So do I. But I have a business degree, but I also have a screenwriting and film degree.
Yeah.
You know, that was my backup plan, which I'm glad I did get the business degree because it does. Like they said, it takes a while to find your place in the industry, and it normally happens from someone you know finally giving you that chance. But
Absolutely. It's
nice that your parents supported it because so many parents are like, that's not a realistic dream, moving to California and working in the movies.
Yeah.
It's just not. So it's great that you had their support.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, my dad's always saying basically that the entertainment industry always thrives, where he's like, well, even look at, during the Depression or whatever. It's entertainment's, a pretty viable way to go. So
definitely.
What school did he teach at?
He taught at my high school, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
So nice. So, yeah, we had no film classes at my high school.
I know.
I didn't realize how lucky I was.
That's amazing.
And then, so how did you get to Teen Wolf? And in this lovely pack of editors?
Alyssa Clark.
No way.
You're alpha, too.
A lot of Alyssa name dropping.
Yeah.
Are you a beta?
I met Alyssa at a party on the West Side. She used to live across the street from my sister, actually. So it was we live across the street in Echo Park.
Nice.
And so we ended up starting to chat, and it was like, I was assistant editing and wanted to be on a TV show. And basically we became friends, and she kind of guided me and helped me get some reality gigs initially, and then when this opened up, hit me up and was like,
wow.
Hey, we've got a spot.
That's awesome.
What an amazing, mentor.
Yeah,
awesome.
Alyssa's
yeah.
very cool.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited because she's coming back next week, so we have to talk to her about, apparently she's like orphanaging. She's like mother of an orphanage of editors.
Kittens she and assistant editors. She rescues them all.
Has she come back and asked for a favor yet? Has she given you, if she's a benefactor here? Is she sending you guys off on missions?
Kitten videos?
Kill
kittens.
We do her cat videos for her
kitten rescue.
Kitten rescue.
That's awesome.
That's so funny. Yeah.
That's great. So she's the benefactor for kittens. She needs visual confirmations on the kittens that you guys send her.
The catafactor.
Yeah. I like it.
Basically.
And you, Betsy, so I think we sort of talked about it a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. What sort of brought you to the industry and then to Beacon Hills as well?
Alyssa Clark? No. I actually grew up watching a ton of TV. I love TV. And I spoke about last time how I grew up in Wilmington, where they filmed Dawson's Creek. And so watch them film that, and I was very interested in that.
Was that your favorite show?
At some point, because I was actually, I was a freshman in high school when they were a freshman in high school.
Oh, wow.
So it
That's
was
always nice.
Yeah.
Very relatable.
Grow up together.
Totally. And I also loved Friends.
And there was actually a behind-the-scenes video of Friends where they were showing all the how they do all the Foley and ADR and stuff like that. And it was all behind-the-scenes post-production. And I was just like, this is so neat, you know? I was like, I would love to be able to do that one day. And I think it's just always sort of piqued my interest, you know? And so here I am.
That's awesome. Yay. And then how did you get on Teen Wolf?
I kind of wasn't kidding. Alyssa Clark.
That's awesome. Did you just email her and she happened to have a spot available at the time? Or?
It's a little more complicated. I was actually Alyssa Clark and Gabe and Kim and Blaine, our post-producer, all worked together on making the band a long time ago.
Yes, we love that show.
And some of the other people they worked with kind of split off and went a different way, and then they kind of all stuck together and did Teen Wolf, and this group over here did other shows. Well, I actually ended up working with that other group for like 3 or 4 years, but I always wanted to be in Scripted, and they all knew it. So when Gabe was looking for an assistant, they recommended me to them.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and so I interviewed with Gabe, and we really hit it off. And so I kind of do owe it to Alyssa.
Wow. Yeah,
so that's three of the four of us. That's really funny.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah. Before we head out, maybe you guys can just give advice to people who are at home watching this show, and, you know, they want to come to California and they want to work in the industry. It sounds like from your stories that you should just be really nice to your coworkers who you work on, whatever job you work on with them.
Work hard and prove
that you're a good coworker, from what it sounds like.
I would say the one thing that impresses people a lot, especially when you're starting out, and probably when you still keep working this business, is show up early. Whenever you start the day, like, people really do notice that. Mm. You show up, like, you know, an hour early or something like that.
Mm.
And then also just, like, willing to learn, like, I want to know more. Like, show me how to do stuff. Or, like, learn on your own, that kind of thing. Just having a drive and willingness to do whatever.
I think there is a truth to the, you know, getting along with people that you work with, because you really never know where your next job's coming from. You know, it can be anyone that you're working with could be the next job that you would have, because, you know, Teen Wolf has been a pretty constant job, but as freelancers, you know, we jump from job to job pretty often. Other than Teen Wolf, which has lasted a very long time now.
Yes, that's awesome. But, and you guys are renewed for a season 5, so we're all very excited about that, as I'm sure you guys are as well.
Yeah.
What about you, Amber? Do you have any advice?
I definitely agree with, you know, being positive, being pleasant to work with will never hurt. And I just think, you know, being yourself and following your own passion and your own curiosity will always lead you in the right direction.
Definitely. Greg, you got any last words for our crew at home?
Also, do more. Like, if your job is a certain thing, always volunteer to do extra. And people always notice that. Like, they show a little bit of initiative and ambition. People are like, oh, this guy wants to learn. Let me teach him something.
Yeah.
People love that.
Yeah. That's so true.
And know Alyssa Clark.
If you don't know Alyssa Clark, find a way to her. Get to know Alyssa Clark. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. It's been so much fun having you guys in studio. We love the family dynamic that you guys as a crew bring in every week. And maybe if we could just go around, you tell us if you have a Twitter where the fans can follow you at. Corey, can you start us off?
My Twitter is Corey Trentz, CUREYTRENCH. And my website is CineTreeFilms.com.
Yeah.
You can check out my latest film. And I made a Project Greenlight submission. It's called The Stand Up. Vote for it. Don't vote for Greg's, though.
Yes. I'm also going for Project Greenlight. It's called Undocumented, and hopefully it'll be done by Friday's due date.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you have a Twitter or anything we can follow you on?
I'm almost 40. I don't have a Twitter. I don't know how to use it.
What about you, Amber? Any project or Twitter handle?
Yeah, I'm at Amber the Bamber.
Amber the Bamber.
I also have an EP on Bandcamp. Clamber Standback is my MC name. So, yeah, you could check that out, too.
Awesome.
And Amber Raps.
Oh, yeah, Amber's a rapper, and I've gone to a show, and it's awesome. And her song is, like, stuck in my head.
That's great.
I love her stuff. You guys should definitely check it out.
You guys can find me on Twitter, Miss MS_June Lee. And you guys can also check out my blog on Tumblr, Amaze TV, A-M-A-Z TV.
Awesome. And Betsy, where can we follow you?
Teenwolfpostproduction.tumblr.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm at Cinematic Escape. You can check out my blog, Cinematic Escape. Also, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.